Last week, David Sanger of the New York Times reported that hackers connected to Russian intelligence are now more focused on disrupting the U.S. electrical grid than on sowing chaos in the U.S. electoral system. Sanger has been reporting on the threats and realities of cyber warfare, who wages it, and how prepared the U.S. is to stop it in a new book. Judy Woodruff recently sat down with Sanger to discuss it.
David Sanger, welcome. The book is The Perfect Weapon: War, Sabotage, and Fear in the Cyber Age. You know, I don't normally say this in an interview. The fear is in the title, but this is a frightening book. Did you mean for it to be?
I meant it more to be an explanatory book, but it's an explanatory book about a frightening time. And the frightening part of this is that cyber weapons have moved almost without us recognizing it to be the primary way, Judy, that countries are beginning to undercut each other, do short of war operations against each other, operations that they don't think will start a military response. You know, we spent years worrying about the giant cyber Pearl Harbor that was going to cut off all the lights from, you know, Boston to Washington or San Francisco to LA. And in fact, that kind of blinded us to the much more subtle uses of cyber in which all of us are the collateral damage to this war among states that's going on far above our heads.
You have some, just so many fascinating stories in here. You had, I think, incredible access to some of the key players. One of the points you make, David Sanger, is that the U.S. has not only stressed secrecy above all, but it's been much more comfortable talking about what other countries are doing to the U.S. than it's ever been willing to talk about what the U.S. is doing to others.
Yeah, we've hit this moment, Judy, where I think in the reporting I became convinced that the secrecy surrounding cyber, which arises from the fact that it's one of the first weapons developed by the intelligence agencies, and they're naturally secretive, is actually beginning to become a security problem for us because it's getting in the way of us establishing rules and deterrence. So let me give you an example. We have felt free to go attack nuclear facilities in Iran, or, as this book reveals, North Korea's missile program. And yet, because we won't talk about our own capabilities and operations, we can't get the government involved in a serious conversation about what's off limits.
And why haven't U.S. officials been more willing to talk about that?
You know, they've confused keeping secrecy around how we build these weapons and what we do from secrecy about how we want to go use them. And even in the nuclear age, we kept everything about how we built nuclear weapons, where we stored them, secret, and we had a big public debate about how we wanted to go use them, and it ended up in a completely different place.
You write at one point that the U.S. is still ahead, but you said that China and Russia are very close to catching up, and maybe even North Korea and Iran. How well equipped right now is the U.S. to fend off a major cyber attack?
We're much better at our offense than we are at our defense. And that's partly because most of the targets in the United States are in private hands, utilities, financial firms, but also because even while our cyber defenses have improved, and they've improved dramatically in the past 5 years, the number of targets has expanded so dramatically that we can't keep up. So you now have an internet-connected refrigerator, or the cameras outside your house, if you've got them, or internet-connected, your autonomous car. There are so many new ways in that no matter how much better we get at defense, it seems like there are more targets.
The of course, one of the things that arises out of this, and because the timing of the book is what happened in 2016, the Russian Russian attempt to interfere in the U.S. election. What did you find out about that? Did you come away convinced that that happened?
I not only came away convinced that it happened, but I came away convinced that we missed huge numbers of signals running up to it. There are four chapters in the book on Russia, but the first one starts in Ukraine, and it's called Putin's Petri dish, because basically every single thing the Russians did to us, they tried out in Ukraine first. And we didn't have the imagination to think that they would take that and try it here. The second thing was the FBI was way too slow on the investigation into what happened to the DNC. It took 9 months before they really got everybody to wake up to it. And even then, the British had to step in and warn us that Russian military intelligence was inside the DNC. And then the White House got involved in a lengthy internal debate about whether to call out President Putin. Once again, they made the decision that they had made when the Russians went into the White House, the State Department, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, not to publicly penalize the Russians, at least before the election.
And of course, the whole argument about whether President Obama moved quickly enough or not.
And aggressively enough.
And aggressively enough. Last thing, David Sanger, you ask an important question at the end about how the U.S. is really almost seen as a hypocrite because we argue against other countries interfering in what we do, and yet it's something that the U.S. is guilty of doing. And then you go on to say it's up to us, up to the United States, to come up with ways to control this monster mm-hmm. that we've created, that the U.S. has created. Do you think that's going to happen?
If so, it's going to happen very gradually, and it's going to require a change of view in the United States and a change of view among our adversaries. One of the ideas that's kicked around, you hear the president of Microsoft, Brad Smith, talk about it. You hear executives at Siemens and other places talk about it, is having some kind of a digital Geneva Convention, some rules about what you wouldn't do to civilians. Now, would they get violated all the time? Sure. But then again, the Syrians violate the Geneva Conventions every time they gas civilians. But at least we would begin to have some norms of behavior. And the few efforts so far to start that at the UN have really died off.
Which is a bleak prospect for the future.
It is. You don't want to wait until you have such a big, paralyzing set of events or a series of smaller but incredibly damaging cyber attacks for us to think about those in retrospect.
David Sanger, I started out saying the book is frightening. It is, but it's also fascinating and so important to read at this particular time. It's The Perfect Weapon, War, Sabotage, and Fear in the Cyber Age. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy.